I'm going to call to order the House Committee on Environment and Water. Thank you, members, for being here Tuesday, January 20th, and open a public hearing on House Bill 2080. It may take a moment for Beth, the committee administrator, to bring the list of potential witnesses to me, but let me say a few words about this bill, committee members. This is a bill that was introduced at the request of the Interim Committee on Energy and Environment, which then Representative Dingfelder chaired. We heard several days of testimony, not full days, but that we had several hearings related to this bill. We saw the draft that you see before you as House Bill 2080. Some questions were raised. We're hoping to get some of those answered today. It's an approach to dealing with water and water conservation that I think has a lot of merit. I think when our president-elect talked today about a new era of responsibility, I think he had in mind the kinds of people who are bringing forward and the kinds of ideas that folks are bringing forward today related to how they can more effectively, more efficiently use water in their households, in their communities. I think they're stepping up and showing the kind of responsibility that we were asked to show today, and I hope that we'll find ways to support them by making making whatever changes may be necessary in statute. I have the list here. It has come to my attention there are still potential issues with the language in this bill. There may need to be some additional work on this bill, and I'll be having conversations with folks over the next several days, even weeks, to try to make sure that we get this bill to the place it needs to be to move forward. And if any of members of the committee are interested in working with me and the stakeholders on that, I would appreciate you being in touch. So let's go ahead and call to the dais. It looks like Walker Leiser, Brenna Bell, and Jeremy O'Leary. And just so committee members know, we will be probably, this is the only bill we're hearing today, we'll probably be excusing before 5 o'clock. But let's start with testimony from those folks. So if you would come up to the dais, and if you have written testimony, present it to Sue, our committee assistant.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
While they're coming up, I would be loath to correct you in public, but just so you know, he's now the president.
Thank you very much. I stand corrected.
It's an interesting.
It's sort of hard to. It hasn't fully sunk in yet, Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It is interesting that he has been so active during the time since the election that he has this title that we now have to unlearn.
Yeah. Whichever you would like to start, go ahead.
We'll start. This is exciting.
And will you say your name, please, for the record?
I just had to say that I'm excited first and foremost. My name is Brenna Bell, and I'm here representing Willamette Riverkeeper. I'm their staff attorney. And I have been working for this moment for about the past year. I have written testimony that I'm going to loosely follow, so as to not bore you by just reading off a page. But in April 2008... I helped organize with a number of other people a public forum on gray water reuse, and we had about 40 people in Portland City Hall, and they represented a huge diversity of interests. We had people from businesses, from nonprofits, from grassroots organizations, from government, and then a lot of interested homeowners who are really looking on how to make their own homes more sustainable. And we're discussing what the legal barriers are currently to gray water reuse, and then what it would look like to change those, and so was born the effort to get the bill to where it is right now. And since then, there's been a group of people, and it's been kind of an interesting process because it's very much spearheaded by the local community. And then over time, we brought more and more people from the government in when it became clear that the government was on the same page and we weren't going to be having an adversarial relationship. It's been fantastic. So we have created a relationship with the DEQ and state building codes and Department of Health and Human Services, as well as a lot of different industry and organizational groups and unions, to come to a place where we were all in agreement that making gray water reuse easy and accessible to people was the right thing to do. And I wonder why we put so much time into it. Well, first of all, I think because a number of us were chagrined that Oregon is so late in the game in getting into gray water. A lot of our neighbors have gray water reuse, have systems around gray water reuse already in place. The notable standouts are Arizona and New Mexico, and of course they're in a different water situation than we are a lot of the year, but I think that they have really paved the way at showing what really accessible gray water can be. And when I talked to people in their Department of Environmental Quality, they said that they had to pass the legislation to keep up with the people, because people were putting in gray water systems right and left, and they wanted to regulate. And I think Oregon is approaching that place where the people are really pushing for it, and now it's time for us to catch up as a government with them. And I think people are really pushing for one main reason, and that's that water is starting to be recognized as more and more precious and more scarce. And sometimes in Western Oregon, it's hard to see that and say, oh, you know, we're going to run out of water sometime. But almost everyone has noticed that our snowpacks are decreasing rather rapidly. Our water resources are not as reliable as we thought they would. And one of the easiest ways to conserve water is to reuse water. Rather than using potable water to be irrigating our lawns and landscape, we can use water that was already previously used in homes in a safe way to do that. And that's what this bill is about. It's about basically instructing the Department of Environmental Quality to continue the conversation that's been going on for the past year. What is the safest, most accessible way that we can use gray water in a way that protects the interests of the people of Portland, or of Oregon, and also protects our environment? And that's the opportunity you have, is to let us continue that conversation and to make this dream a reality. And we're excited to be doing it, and there's a lot of questions still to answer. And we're going to be doing that through the public rulemaking process. So when you read this bill, it's not going to say, go out and install a gray water system next week. I think it's just another step in this ongoing conversation that allows it to come into fruition. There'll be a lot more difficult discussions, I think, when people with slightly different perspectives on gray water come together and figure out the best way to use it. But this allows us to continue that discussion and to make the dream a reality. So thanks for considering it, and it is exciting to be here in this point in the process.
Thanks very much, Brenna, and we'll go on and perhaps hold questions until we're done with the panel, but hopefully either one of you gentlemen will sort of talk a little bit about what the bill specifically does, or Brenna, we can come back to you to help walk us through the bill.
I think DEQ is here today, okay. And Christine and Neil could probably do that.
Super. All right, then let's move on.
Board, my name is Walker Leiser. I'm here on behalf of DeSantis Landscapes, and we are, I believe, the seventh largest privately owned landscaping company in Oregon, somewhere in that range, just to kind of give you an idea of tax dollars is why I bring that up. We're a leader in the landscaping division in sustainability. This is something that's been on our vision for 09 or whenever it comes into fruition. People call us regularly for xeriscaping and specifically for our expertise in irrigation and water conservation. This is the next level that we see eliminating the PVC and eliminating irrigation almost entirely. We are also well connected to the Oregon Landscapers Contractors Association. And if this moves forward, then because we're part of the board there, I think it'll be very easy for us to gain support from various other landscapers who would maybe be installing some of this. We would be the folks that you could regulate in this situation, because we would be working with the customers and the homeowners themselves. So I also speak from just a personal note. I am also ready and plumbed for gray water at my house. I haven't yet turned it on, but as soon as we get moving on this, I'm happy to help kind of pioneer that and give some studies. So there's just my own personal two cents. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Cool. Yeah, my name is Jeremy Leary. I'm a homeowner in East Portland, and I'm also kind of like the similar thing. I'm getting ready to do an expansion of my kitchen, but specifically waiting off until I can do something a little more interesting with the gray water. Specifically, it always kind of drove me crazy when we would have a summer rain, and I'm having to water my the maple in my front yard with water coming from Bull Run rather than the water that's going down the shower drain. So I am also of particular interest with this bill, so we can set up. There's quite a few gorilla gray water systems where their design probably could use a little bit more thought about the design, and so you're not dealing with mold issues or such. I mean, I'm definitely a supporter in figuring out how we can do the legislation, so you're not creating a surprise for the following homeowner. But there's also, yeah, especially in our summer months, finding ways to conserve the water and use it and actually have the waste in the water be basically food for my maple rather than just going into the septic system. Thanks.
Great. Thank you all for being here. And undoubtedly have questions from the committee. Given our interim committee discussions on this, I expect that, you know, we may need, again, to talk a little bit about the difference between gray water and black water, what we're actually talking about when we're when you have in mind reusing water from a household. So, Brenna, I don't know if you want to address that, and then we'll
move to other questions. Sure. I wasn't sure where to start in the discussion. So gray water is essentially water that's not black water, water that's not toilet water. And there are different states that have different definitions of what goes into it. The Oregon state's definition is fairly broad. Of course, we're not reusing it exteriorly right now, but it includes water from your shower or bath, from your kitchen sink, from your laundry machine, and from your bathroom sink. Those are the main sources. So the toilet water would still be dealt with on its own. No need to worry about that going into irrigation pipes. But in that, there is about half of the domestic water consumption interiorly can go into gray water systems. And I will also point out that over the summer, the State Plumbing Board has been taking a lot of action to create regulations that legalize the interior reuse of gray water. So now you can flush your toilet with your shower water. There's been a movement, and we're kind of, that's things they could do without legislation. The exterior reuse we couldn't do without legislation, which is why we're here coming to you.
Great. Questions from the committee? Yeah, Representative Boone.
How do you handle bleach?
Well, that's a good question. I think there's a couple of ways. There's different states have different systems. Some just have best management practices, and one of the best management practices is not to use anything in your water that would have a toxic effect. And I think gray water, people who are using gray water will be more mindful about what they put in their water because it's going onto their land. Then there are some systems that have more in-depth filtration that's necessary, so it will filter things like that out. Those are questions that will be addressed in the rulemaking when we're really looking at what's going into the water, where is it coming out, and how we address those issues. But I think the overall goal is if you're actually using your water on your land rather than just flushing it away into the sewer, hopefully people will be using a lot better products and more biodegradable products in the first place.
Just to clarify, the water that you would be reusing is only from your home.
It's only from your home, okay, and only
so you
on
have
your
that
land.
Choice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that my question's been answered.
Okay. Any other questions for this panel before we call up DEQ? Great. Well, thank you very much.
And if there's any questions that come up after the rest of the testimony, I'm happy to come back.
Thanks.
Cool.
Thank you. Thank you. Neil Mullane from DEQ.
Afternoon. Suffering a little bit from a cold, so if you bear with me a little bit. for the record, my name is Neil Mullane. I'm the administrator of the Water Quality Program for DEQ. And thank you for inviting us here today to talk about the bill. I was going to give a little bit of background, but you've gotten a little bit of it already. We do have in our statutes currently a definition for gray water. And as you heard, gray water is essentially everything that's not black water. And black water is human waste that is discharged within a structure. We began a little bit with this last year to really sit down at the direction of the committee to look into what were the barriers on the use of gray water in the state of Oregon? And we sat down and started to look at, you know, our state statutes and what was really preventing the use of gray water in the state. Some states, as you've already heard, actually have been using gray water for some periods of time now, where they allow actual plumbing outside the structures and the use of gray water, either as irrigation water or within the structure as toilet flushing water. And so we sat down with building codes and DHS and started to look through our statutes and look through their own statutes and really try to get some idea as to, you know, when and where and how and why not gray water couldn't be used. And the little chart that you were just handed was kind of the summary of the work that we did. And I'd like to go through that really quickly so you can kind of get an idea of what we've done in the past and what we're currently letting people do. And then kind of leads us into the bill itself and the reasons why we had to do the things we are recommending in the bill itself. If you look at this chart, what we tried to do is identify the building type and then kind of the use of the gray water. So at the very top there, we have building type is commercial, and the gray water use is toilet or urinal flushing water. And as we looked through the three major agencies involved in this and looked at our regulations, it really came down to the fact that DHS and DEQ really don't have any regulations that cover this to prevent people from actually using it in that manner. And so building code sat down and actually wrote the specs for people and allowing people to do that. So if you look now, the building codes actually have identified the plumbing makeup that you would have to go through in order to allow the use of gray water within the building for flushing water. Next thing is we looked at single-family residents, and again, the same thing is we looked at, you know, DEQ and DHS and building codes to see, you know, who had the regulations and who actually was preventing or a barrier to the use of gray water in terms of urinal flushing within a structure. And again, in the residential setting, there are no DEQ regulations against that, and DHS doesn't have any, and building codes, again, identify what a plumbing makeup would have to be, the design would have to be in order for people to actually do that. And I believe that's also been completed by DHS, by building codes, and they have that. So then we sit down and looked at commercial operations in terms of irrigation, and this changes the context. You know, instead of using within the building in a closed loop system where you have piping, if you're going to take it outside the building and actually use it for irrigation, what are the regulations? And in this particular case, DEQ does have regulations guiding the use of gray water, reuse water outside the structure in terms of a commercial operation. And if you look there, I've identified the specific rules. We actually spent probably almost 3 years working on those particular rules just recently. And this past April, our commission adopted the rules that we developed for the reuse of water from commercial operations after treatment. So those are all in the books, and people actually can move forward and do that under the permits that we have identified for that activity. So that leaves us one final category, and that's the use of gray water for irrigation outside a single-family resident. And when we sat down and looked at that, and again, looking through our statutes, we identified basically a prohibition on the use of gray water from a single-family resident. And so the bill that we have here is really a bill that's worked on between ourselves and DOJ and the other agencies to identify those areas in statute that would have to be tweaked or changed so that we could, in fact, develop a program for the use of gray water outside of a single-family resident. And what I was going to have is have Christine, who's very close to the bill and close to the work that we did with DOJ, kind of go through the bill for you and kind of line out those particular areas so everybody has a feeling of what we're doing. And there is one or two language things that we're still working on, and we'll identify those for you. So, Christine.
For the record, my name is Christine Spetkovich, and I work in the water program at DEQ. This, I will start out by saying this is really complicated, and the reason it's really complicated is it takes two sets of different statutes. The statutes that outline are the requirements for our on-site septic system program and for the water quality permit program. And so this bill incorporates both of those, which is why it's confusing when you read it and you're not very, and folks aren't who are not very clear with the difference between those. So I'll do my best here, but if you have questions, we can go through them. So just to start in the beginning on page one, the first highlight through the policy statement through innovative approaches, including but not limited to the appropriate reuse of water and waste. It is just stating just that. And moving down on the same page, this is all just clarification language. Is everyone good? Okay, I'm going to move to the next page. Mm-hmm. The definition of gray water, that's the existing definition. It was just moved from another part of the statute, which is why it's highlighted in there. Moving on to page 3, which is section 4, this is the part of the statutes that have the exemption for a specific section in our existing statutes for our on-site septic system program. And without getting into too much detail, right now there is an allotment for people to use gray water if you have a septic system and if it is of a specific size. Right now, those statutes also say if you're connected to a community sewer system, it's illegal. So thus that's why the 454, the whole section is referred to. In addition, that just states that DEQ would the Environmental Quality Commission would adopt rules, and that the DEQ would go through a rulemaking process with advice from an advisory committee to do so. Moving down, I understand that line 36 on page 3, where it says prescribe optional requirements, has been a little, there's been a number of questions about that, so we've actually worked with DOJ and provided a clarification to that language. Hopefully the next version of this draft will make that very clear.
Committee members, a member of the interim committee was, I think, understandably confused by the wording here, wondering what an optional requirement meant. And I think there was broad agreement by the stakeholders about what was intended by that these would be requirements for the use of gray water, but it would be optional whether or not one embarked on a gray water project in their home. We need language that reflects that understanding more clearly.
Yes. Yes.
Thanks. Go ahead.
So the next version will have that clarification. And again, on page 4, the highlighted sentence there refers back to the on-site septic system statutes to ensure that it would be legal. So. Are there any other questions on the bill language itself?
Representative Benz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks for all your hard work on this. Two remarks. There does seem to be some room for confusion in the domestic sewage versus waste language. Are you guys working on that aspect of it? Because it looks to me like if you follow down through the definitional section, there's a hopping back and forth between waste on the one hand and sewage on the other.
So
I just mentioned that. Mm-hmm. And then a follow-up question, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
The thing that's been most interesting to me, and I did attend those meetings, although I was not a member of the committee, so I've heard your presentations before, but the interesting thing is how much more all of a sudden volume of water people are going to be using just so they can irrigate their yard. So how are you going to make sure that this device doesn't turn into kind of disguised means of using more water instead of less?
Chairman, Representative, I think obviously in putting together the actual rules of the program, I mean, I've listed out, just in case we needed to go into some detail on this, is a whole series of questions that, you know, this advisory committee needs to look at, and I'm going to add that one to the list. But in looking at an advisory committee that's kind of going to jump in on this, we were looking at dry weather, wet weather. Even if you're going to irrigate, what time of the year would be the appropriate time of year, and how much water would you put out is obviously a good question to also ask them. Type of soils they might have if they're putting out water. Do you put it on vegetable crops or just your grass and your landscape? And all these are the types of questions that we're formulating now so that that advisory committee, when it gets going, can kind of work through questions exactly like that to give us some advice as to how best to do that. And whether the rules specifically state, you know, a water balance type of an approach, how much water do you need, you know, moisture in the soils and how much you would add to that and that type of thing is something I think is fair game for the community to actually look at.
Representative Barnhart.
Thank you. I have one question on the bill, and then I have some general questions which might be more appropriate later. On line 19 on page 2, you indicate what gray water is not. What does the term garbage wastes mean?
Chair, Representative, it's my understanding from looking through that garbage waste is the garbage disposal waste. We have a lot of organics and things that are in garbage disposal that should be going to the sanitary instead of going out.
Thank you. And then when it's time, I'd like to ask some more general questions.
I think you could, Representative Barnhart, you could pose those perhaps to DEQ now, just so you know, we have a couple of other folks signed up to testify from the special districts and League of Oregon cities. Mm-hmm. We may have the opportunity to call back some of the advocates who we've heard from already, and there may be others who have subsequently joined us and want to testify, but this may be an opportunity.
If I may, let me ask my general question, and it may be that other people are the ones who would be more appropriate to answer it. I'm new to this discussion. This is the first time I've been involved in the discussion of this concept. It would be very helpful to me to understand what the expectations would be for savings of potable water if concepts like this are promulgated and we start using them. I'm very aware of the water shortage that's developing in our municipalities. Obviously, Portland would be better off if it can use Bull Run water rather than having to go to the Lamet River to get water. Some of the small towns in my district, Cresswell, for example, are looking at the possibility of bringing water all the way from the Mackenzie River, from Eugene Water and Electric Board's water allotment. And obviously, if they can reduce their use of water by through mechanisms like this, some very expensive infrastructure might be saved. We might not have to do it. And we could preserve the water quality that we have now in the cities. So that's sort of why I'm interested in that and why I assume many of the people here are interested in pursuing this kind of a bill. Do you have any comments about that, or would it be more appropriate for me to ask other
people? I think it's a great question to address.
Chair Representative, during the interim work this last summer, obviously we had some of that information. We don't have it here today, but we were, and I think Brenda might actually have some of those figures with her, but
in fact,
there is a lot of gray water, and if in fact you had an opportunity to recycle some of that, so you would not need to have the potable water going out for things that you could irrigate with at the resident, that you could, there is a potential for a great significant amount of savings. The question though is really the availability of doing it and people taking that step. And actually, you've heard today two gentlemen who are actually looking forward to doing it in plumbing and taking an opportunity. I think it's one of those things there is, if you could talk more people into it, you would have more savings. But it all depends. It's going to be a voluntary program, and all depends on how much of that you can actually get going. But you could potentially save a lot of water.
A quick follow-up, if I may. It seems to me one of the ways of dealing with voluntariness is pricing water correctly. If household use prices escalate at high volume levels, you can encourage people that way to reduce their own costs by going to a system like this.
We'll leave that to the Revenue Committee. Representative Bailey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Like my good colleague, I'm somewhat new to this discussion, so perhaps this question has been asked at some point during the interim committee. I'm curious to the extent that gray water then is used for perhaps irrigating a garden or food crops. Is there an overlap with federal regulations in any way in the use of that water on various kinds of lands, or is this purely a state issue with perhaps the if there are any contaminants within that water?
Okay. Mr. Chairman, Representative, that's a very good question. there's probably a number of overlaps with a number of different agencies, and in our discussions to date on the makeup of our advisory committee, we're really looking at a lot of different agencies that could have some input into the process, looking at DHS, looking at the Department of Agriculture and others to be on the committee to advise us as to other regulations that we're not actually even thinking about, particularly if it's going to be used on crops and that. In the commercial setting, our committee that we had several years ago actually looked at those types of things in terms of reuse of water that might be put out in a broad basis onto crops or nursery stock and that type of thing. And we looked through those types of regulations as we did that. But this is much more, you know, focused on individual homes and the use of that. And we realize that we need to get some additional advice on the public health aspects of that and the crop aspects of that.
Well, Mr. Chair, yeah, I'm reminded of the waterbed where you push down on one area and it rises somewhere else. Is there a possibility then that perhaps there might need to be, or this might result in looking at what sorts of chemicals are in products that are in household use that might get disposed into a gray water stream?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Representative, another excellent question. It's one of the ones that we've actually written down to formulate for the group to look at. I think Brenna mentioned that if you're going to be using the water directly for irrigation and that type of thing, I think I can't conceive of regulations or rule program coming out of this that doesn't give some advice as to what products to use or not use and things to be shy with, because we're looking very closely at toxics now in the department, looking at very closely at what is coming out of municipal sewage treatment plants and going into the rivers, and looking at those emerging contaminants. And all of those are products that are used, you know, within the household that we're concerned with in those settings. We'd also be a little bit concerned with in how those are used, you know, in the household that's going to go out in the backyards or in lawns. So we have to look at those particular chemicals also as we look at this program.
Thank you.
Other questions here? I have a couple. First of all, could you help clarify, and Christine, this may be for you, but if this bill became law, what exactly would that trigger? Clearly a rulemaking process. Would it be possible for someone to, upon enactment of this bill, to install one of these systems in their home and begin using gray water, or in fact would they need to wait for the outcome of a rulemaking process that may permit gray water under some circumstances but not under others?
Chair Cannon, you're correct. When this bill is passed, it will still be illegal for people to use gray water until the regulatory structure under our rules is adopted by the Environmental Quality Commission.
Okay. And Neil, you sort of hinted at maybe giving us some idea of the kinds of considerations that the EQC would consider when they are in their rulemaking process. Can you maybe repeat those or expand on those if you can already?
Certainly, Chair. The things that I think the committee itself in sitting down and putting together a program has to look at things very directly. Should it be a permit? And should we be issuing permits or a general permit for this? Should it be basically a whole program described in rule that we then, you know, would have information about the program and allow, you know, pass out information? You know, those are the types of very direct things that we have to start with. Should it be the discharge should be, you know, in kind of underground and irrigation type of drip irrigation systems, or should we allow, you know, spraying of it with hoses and that type of thing? Looking at, again, the dry weather, wet weather situation. You know, in West Side, in the middle of the December we just had, I don't know if we would do a lot of gray water use. We had a lot of water out there. I don't know if we needed to add much more to it. But, you know, things like this is really sitting down and saying within rules, how you would describe a program and a managing of the waste so that we're not causing any additional, say, nuisance that might occur from it. You don't want to put water out there if it's, you're already saturated soil, so you don't want it running off of the property. You want it contained on the property and used beneficially on that particular property. And these are the types of questions I think that advisory committee really needs to step through and come up with the proper management for that. You know, identifying the things that other states have done. And other states have gone through exactly the same thing. They've kind of listed out these different issues and looking to see how best to address those issues with a management approach and requirements in a permit that you would do this, do that, and that type of thing if you're discharging.
Is it possible that you would undergo this process and come up with a set of rules that actually pretty narrowly constrain the use of gray water based on the input that you receive? I'm not suggesting that's the likeliest outcome nor the optimal outcome, but is it possible that you would consider the range of input you gathered and, in fact, constrain gray water use to a fairly narrow application?
Mr. Chairman, I certainly hope that isn't what happens. I certainly hope that we can come up with a program that identifies, you know, how to actually go about doing it and how best to do it. It may include, in some cases, if people are very concerned about toxins and bacteria, that there is some treatment that might have to happen before you actually put it into things like vegetable crops or something that people are actually going to consume. If you're not going to be doing that, there's less need for some treatment, so you can actually put it out, you know, in a manner that doesn't get off the property but then doesn't come and expose people to it. So I think there's a lot of different criteria and permutations on this that we'd have to look at, but I certainly hope that the committee can do that in a way that, you know, really emphasizes the use of this and the need to have a water conservation approach to this so that we are actually coming out of this with something that people can actually use.
My final question, it's quick, and then Representative Boone, would it be possible for you to undertake this rulemaking process in the absence of this bill?
Chairman, no. We could undertake the process, but nobody could use it unless we change the statutes that allow the use.
Okay. Thank you very much. Representative Boone.
Actually, that was one of my questions, but I have a second one, and that is, perhaps this could be applied as an urban-rural thing, not wanting to exacerbate the divide, but in this case it might be necessary because in some of the rural areas we have to think of fish-bearing streams and runoff. And in a rural area, you might live from me to you to a major stream, and if you were applying it, it would drain into the river. And if you had bleach or other things in your water that were going straight into the water, into the river system or stream system, could be harmful to fish.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, that is obviously one of the things we have to look at. If we can contain it on the property, then it helps us in the ability in identifying a program that somebody can actually implement without an actual permit to do it. If something moves off the property, and particularly if it moves to a stream, then we trip over into the federal program in terms of Clean Water Act and then having to have a permit for that activity. And I don't think anybody really wants to go in that direction because, you know, it complicates it completely. So we're really talking about keeping it on land, using it beneficially, and not allowing it to move off site.
Thank you, Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To follow up to the Chair's question, you can't move ahead without the statute on the rulemaking, but could you move ahead if we don't, 2080 doesn't make it out of this session, could you move ahead with the advisory committee? There's nothing to stop you from doing that, is there?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, the best of my knowledge, there wouldn't be anything to stop us from moving forward with an advisory committee and considering this. As I said, mentioned earlier in our previous advisory committee on the commercial setting, this was one of the questions that was posed during that, and we actually said we would look into it in the future. So we are actually geared up to actually think about gray water and move forward and contemplate some of the difficulties of gray water. Our concern, obviously, is that we would like to have a program that we could implement when we come out of that.
You know, I'm getting my head around what you said about having two major issues here and making it very complicated. Given its complication, it's possible if we pass this, maybe it's actually a fact, if we pass this, we still couldn't allow our previous testifier to go ahead with the remodel. Is that true, even with what we're doing here?
Mr. Chair, if I can try to answer that question, I think I understand the question. If we go forward with this particular bill, and somebody is today currently plumbed and ready to go, in the way the bill's written, we'd need the rules or the permit, whatever would come out of that, for them to use in order to put the water out on the ground.
So it would enable you to do it, but we wouldn't be ready to do it just because we passed it.
Right, because we'd have to put that together, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Dinson.
thank you, Mr. Chair. I promised myself when I first wrote this question down I wasn't going to ask it. But in light of all of the discussion that's taken place both from the folks in DEQ and from the questions that have come from the committee, I'm wondering how much we have looked at the basic infrastructure in the agency that will be necessary for the implementation of gray water use in the manner that we're talking about. We keep talking about that, we're recognizing that it's complicated, you know, so forth. People bringing up some issues as far as bleach in the thing, that things probably as bad or worse in volume than bleach that might appear in this gray water. Some are chemicals that are used for cleaning of one form or another that literally thousands and thousands of homes use as cleaning agents in the home. And I'm reminded, and I forget the name of the chemical right now, but I could look it up, of one that one of my constituents several years ago was commenting on in his office. He had an office, like this, and they'd had a big meeting, and his secretary or his helper or whoever, went around with this spray, to clean the whole thing up to make it fit, for the next meeting that would take place. And before they did that, he asked them to let him have the can of the little spray that you can buy at Payless or whoever it happens to be. Ask if let me have your can of this. And he went to his postal meter in his office and waited. When she got through, he asked to weigh it again. He got the can again and weighed it. And this was on a chemical that he put on his fields for growing food products, of which about one cupful, per acre would have been maximum use of that would have been allowed or deemed or considered safe. And I think he said it was like 2.5 40-gallon drums of that chemical that she had used in the process of just cleaning off this one little space. And we're going to take this wastewater from there and put it. Before I go anywhere else with it, you need to understand, Mr. Chair, that I'm really supportive of the concept and idea, the idea of using water, in a meaningful manner, conserving water, reusing water. But I want to know how big the supervision, oversight, what have you, monster is that we're creating here. And then maybe we need to think about whether there are other ways maybe to find another way to do, in essence, the same thing. And I really would like to see us do some things with this. So I don't want the comments to be taken in any way as a negative. I really need to have some idea of what this infrastructure cost is going to be to get going. And I know we get all of this through. I know the process here. We will send this, down yonder to one of those sacred little rooms, and we'll get environmental impact statements on this. And that'll come back, and some people will dispute that it's too much. Others will dispute that it's too little. And in essence, it's cast in bronze once it comes out of that office, and that's what we'll base our judgment on. I'd like to have some assurances before we get too far.
I think that's an important question. Neil?
Chair, Representative, it's one that we've debated ourselves also. Certainly, beginning the process, the infrastructure, we have people who have those expertise to look into the problem, but in developing the program is when you actually get to get a feel for how much you the implementation is going to take to actually get this thing implemented. And it's something that we're very leery of in terms of, I shouldn't say leery of, that was the wrong word, is that we're really concerned that we make sure that as we put the program together, it's implementable and that it's something that we can do in the future. I don't think we have a good idea on what it's going to be because we're not quite certain whether we're looking at rules or doing permits and what it's going to entail. But we're very cognizant of the fact that as you look at household waste and you look at the types of products that we use today, that we have to be concerned with where those particular contaminants or toxics ultimately wind up. And whether you design a program that looks at the various parts of the gray water stream and say, okay, there's less products in this particular part, the shower water or bath water, than if we're using sinks and that type of thing where we have more disinfectants use. And if you do it in such a way so that you can, from the head end, not use products that could get into the waste stream. So I think all of these types of questions really bear to whether or not the infrastructure is going to be really large or kind of medium-sized or small, but we won't know until the committee sits down and actually kind of goes through that process and really begins to look at the types of things that we have to deal with as the gray water is released.
Thank you, and thank you. I appreciate very much your statement. One of the things that concerns me, of course, when we operate on that basis, is once we get this pony started down the racetrack, it's hard to get him stopped till the race is over. And sometimes the costs that we've got, exceeded our wildest imagination. So I understand what you're saying, and I realize what your problems are, and I deeply appreciate them. You just understand what my consternation will be as we move forward.
Absolutely. Thank you. Any other questions for the agency? Representative Gilliam.
Yep. If this isn't for the agency, Mr. Chair, you can correct me, but I was just kind of following up on Representative Benz's thought, which is probably the more important one. That is, what if this actually accelerated water consumption? But the other side, has anybody in the course of the interim or otherwise brought up just the idea that this could be loss of revenue for local if we're using less in certain municipalities? Is that a pushback from local government? It might be the kind of problem we're looking for, but I'm just asking.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, Representative, I don't recall during interim us broaching that particular subject.
And we're going to hear from the cities and special districts here in a moment, and that may be something they would...
Including Oak Lodge in this written?
No, not, but
it'd be a good time to bring up those questions.
Right. And let me take that opportunity. Thank you for reminding me, Representative Gilliam. I do want to acknowledge written testimony that we have received from the Oak Lodge Sanitary District. They were unable to be here today, but they have expressed some of their concerns about the bill, and we will hear in a moment from the special districts that represent Oak Lodge, and I think they will explain some of those concerns as well. I guess before letting you go, Neil, does DEQ have a position on the definition here of gray water? I guess this is the existing definition in the books. Does this appear, based on your kind of work during the interim, to be an appropriate definition for water that could, conceivably be safely reused outside the home?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, what I think we wanted to do is make sure we were inclusive, that we would identify those things within gray water that could have a potential to be used under this program. And then during the actual development of the program, we'd specify really those parts of the gray water stream that would be most appropriate. Because
as I said earlier, as you look at those different streams, there may be more concerns for toxics and waste and things that might be in those particular things, laundry water and that type of thing, that you might want to specifically say that in this particular program we're talking about these elements of the gray water. Our concern was if you narrow that definition down and somebody was willing to put in the treatment to use those other gray water streams, we wouldn't have the ability to allow them to do so. So if you make it more inclusive, then you can at least have an opportunity to include the options for people to use the gray water from those sources if you had the identification of the management and the practices.
Thank you. That's very helpful. Great. Let's thank you very much, Neil and Christina.
Sure.
Let's have Mark Landauer and Daniel Eisenbeis join us. And I appreciate DEQ's work during the interim with stakeholders on developing this concept, which came from citizen activists and like Brenna and others, and they brought this forward. DEQ was great about working with them on a concept that we could be talking about today. Mark and Daniel.
Chair Cannon, members of the committee, for the record, Daniel Eisenbeis with the League of Oregon Cities. Thank you for the opportunity to comment today. The cities, all 242 cities in Oregon that the League represents, are supportive of the concept of reusing gray water. That said, we have some technical concerns about the language of this bill, starting with the definition of gray water. If we look to the definitions that are used in some other places, for instance, in the state of New Mexico, where they have a program that I think is well regarded, it specifically defines gray water as untreated water from certain sources, and then goes on to specifically exclude water from kitchen sinks, dishwashers, and any laundry water that may contain contaminated diapers, for instance, anything with fecal material. I would submit that perhaps there's a delineation between gray water in the sense of untreated water that can be put to some sort of beneficial reuse versus some grayer or perhaps black water that demands treatment. And cities, as you may know, do practice recycling treated black water for beneficial use. So I'd encourage the committee to consider the sort of full spectrum of water reuse and how a gray water reuse program fits into that. Our concerns about the definition, though, really tie into concerns about protecting public health and the environmental impacts of any application of water from more problematic waste streams. I think that it's safer to address those concerns at the front end by having a very carefully worded definition, aside from those sort of public policy concerns for the cities. And Mr. Landauer can speak to the concerns of the special districts. We certainly are cautious about incurring any additional liability related to contamination of groundwater or stormwater. And in the case of stormwater, our larger cities are required to seek permits under the Clean Water Act. So that's something that we would appreciate the opportunity to discuss with other stakeholders and come up with a solution. It may involve requiring permits, at least in certain cases of gray water reuse, or perhaps there's another way we can address that concern. Thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Thank you, Daniel. Mark.
Good afternoon. Mark Landauer with the Special Districts Association of Oregon. Thank you, Mr. Chair. The special districts share the city's concerns on the definition, and Representative Bailey, as well as Mr. Mullane, raised one of the questions of the intersection between this policy, which you are considering today, and how it intersects with federal laws. And Mr. Mullane had mentioned the Clean Water Act. The reason why we have a concern about the liability, of course, is that the Clean Water Act requires that when you put in pollutants into a water stream, of course, you need to have a permit, MPDES, generally speaking, permit. And one of the things that we're worried about is if a pollutant were to get into the streams, wastewater stream, or for that matter, storm waters, we would need to have a permit for that. And when you're extending the use of gray water, Mr. Mullane mentioned that he wants to be sure that we contain it on the property that's generating it. If it does spill off, there's a potential liability for the permit holder for that pollution. And as a result, we want to check with our legal counsel and make sure that there are not inadvertently passing on a new liability to local governments who are exposed to this meritorious goal. We certainly support it. I should have mentioned that at the very outset. We are very, very supportive of this. But at the end of the day, the detail and the potential financial exposure from liability is something that we want to be very careful about, and we're looking forward to working with DEQ, the committee, as well as others, to hopefully rectify these concerns and ensure that we get a program that, that works for everybody.
Thanks. Questions for these gentlemen? Seeing none, let me ask if there's anyone, thank you both, see if there's anyone else who is interested in testifying who has not signed up on the witnesses. Doesn't look like it. We will be continuing to work on this bill and talking to folks who have testified today and others who are interested, including any members of the committee are interested in joining in those conversations. Let me know. I expect that we will see this bill again and certainly laud the work of the advocates as well as the agency and others to try to bring forward a concept that reflects that, that really important goal of water conservation. So appreciate that. This bill has come a long way since the initial concept now a year or more ago. So it still obviously has some distance to go in this building, but hopefully we help it get there. So thank you very much. With that, I will close the public hearing on House Bill 28 and 2080 and close the House Committee on Environment and Water. Thank you.